the qualities of a Brahman are described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Shamodamastapashocham Kshante Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. The activities of a Brahmana that spring from his very nature, his qualities are that he controls the mind and senses, is peaceful by nature, is inclined toward austerity, not inclined toward sense enjoyment, is very clean both externally and internally, is tolerant of adverse conditions, is straightforward, is knowledgeable. This means specifically knowledgeable in the Vedic knowledge, not to accumulate knowledge about the material world. That may be there also, but the core of a Brahmana's knowledge is knowledge of the spiritual world and the spiritual workings behind this world. And vijnana, these terms, jnana and vijnana, they may be understood in different ways, in different contexts. But Srila Prabhupada has often explained this to mean a realization, which is, it's not enough simply to know, but one has to realize, and practically realization of spiritual knowledge means to act on that knowledge, to not simply be someone who can speak, but who acts, or in modern American way of talking, that you can walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So not simply someone who speaks big, high words, but who actually lives an ideal life, and who can give that Vedic knowledge to others in a manner that is suitable to their particular situation. Hinduism is much misunderstood. I don't claim to be a spokesman here for Hinduism, but Hinduism is the modern degenerated version of the culture that springs from the Vedas, and it's often difficult for people raised in the Western linear way of thinking, a very linear way of thinking, to understand how can there be so many different beliefs. What do Hindus believe? And it's very difficult to answer, because they may have all different beliefs, but even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks of different paths. But the understanding behind all of this is that there is one ultimate goal, but that people are at different levels. And so people at different levels, they can take up different paths. What is right and what is wrong? It may be not so easy to say. The Vedic teachings are highly nuanced. For instance, we can say that to steal is wrong, to lie is wrong. These are general principles that everyone can understand. But in some cases, stealing might be right. For instance, if there was a drug which could save someone's life and it could not be, the shopkeeper refused to give it because it's very expensive, there could be a case for stealing it. There's a case for lying. If there's a very famous story in the Mahabharata of Krishna, he told of one supposed Brahmana who vowed never to lie in his life. And one day a man came running up past his cottage and said that, "I'm being chased by thieves who want to steal all the money that I have. So tell me, where can I go? Where can I hide? So the Brahmin pointed, you go in those trees over there. And a few minutes later, some men ran up and said, we're chasing a man with money. We want to take his money. Did you see where he went? He said, yes, where did he go? He went over there. So they went over there, killed him and took his money. And the Brahmin stuck to his vow of never telling a lie. At the end of life, he went to hell for the crime. His own vow never to tell a lie was not as important as the principle of protecting a person. And we find in Mahabharata particularly, there's so many instances of dharma vyatikrama or dharma sankata, where it's not understood what appears to be a transgression of dharma is actually not, or someone is in a crisis, like Arjuna himself, before Bhagavad Gita was spoken. He didn't know what was his proper duty, because one duty he had was to fight for the sake of his brother, and the other duty was not to fight against his gurus, and he couldn't follow one without following the other. So anyway, brahmanas, they're supposed to be expert in not just amassing knowledge, but being able to apply that in people's lives and guide them. So these are some of the qualities of brahmanas. Brahmanas may also be defined by their activities. Patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, pratigraha. They study Vedic literature, they teach Vedic literature, or they recite that to others. They perform worship, put their own worship, and they also perform for others, perform pujas for others, and yajnas, sacrifices for others. And they accept charity and give charity. Means they don't work in a job, but they accept charity, and whatever they get more than they need, they don't keep it, they give it. So these are some of the functions of a brahmana. A brahmana is a role within varnashram. Varnashram is the social system set up by Lord Krishna himself. Chato varnyang maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. Krishna said that I created this system of four divisions. There are 2 times 4 divisions. The divisions within human society are the brahmanas, who are priests, scholars, advisors, the kshatriyas are rulers. They are fighters, if required, to protect people from criminals. And Vaishyas are principally farmers. They may also do business or banking. And Shudras are laborers or artisans, musicians like this, artists. So these are the 4 divisions of human society in terms of work. And there are also brahmacharis or boy students, celibate students, grihastas who are married people, vanaprastas, retired people, and sannyasis who renounce the world for the sake of spiritual realization. So this system was set up by Krishna. Among the 4 social orders, the brahmanas are considered topmost because they give knowledge and direction to human society. That knowledge and direction is what separates humans from animals. Because what separates humans from animals? What do animals and humans have in common? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhya naranam. Humans and animals both eat, sleep, fear and mate. So what is the difference between a human and an animal? Dharmena, what is that? Dharmohitesham adhiko vishesham. The difference between a human and animal, or the special qualification of a human is that he follows dharma or a higher order understanding, higher order activities, and therefore dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. A human who does not follow dharma is actually an animal, although he may appear to be a human. So guidance in dharma is particularly given both by speaking, by precept, and by example, by practice, by the brahmanas. And therefore they are considered the topmost members of society. Of course, they're not the leaders in the sense that kshatriyas are leaders. The kshatriyas are administrative leaders, but brahmanas are spiritual leaders, and kshatriyas are supposed to take guidance from them. In a materialistic society, the person who has got most power and money is considered topmost. But in a spiritually oriented society, the position of those with administrative power and lots of money, they are considered in the second position. And the first position is that of the brahmanas who do not have administrative power. And nor do they have money. They live very simply. They may go with even torn clothes and very ramshackle residence. If someone in modern America has torn clothes and a ramshackle residence, people will think, oh, they're very low class. Homeless. They may be homeless altogether. I'm homeless. I don't have a residence. People ask me, where do I live? Wherever. The answer is, wherever I am now. I don't have a home. Of course, you all look after me very nicely wherever I go. Thank you for that. But the understanding in Vedic society is that one's importance is not measured by how much one has materially, but how much one has spiritually. And one's contribution to society. All members of society are supposed to contribute to it. The Shudras contribute by manual labor. That is not to be underestimated. That is required. The Vaishyas, they are the producers. In modern society, they're factories which produce all kinds of unnecessary things, but the basic necessities of human society are, as is said in Hindi, roti, kapra, makan, means food, clothing, and shelter. So the Vaishyas, they produce by their activities, they produce food. Actually, of course, that comes from Krishna, from God. But the Vaishyas, they act in such a way that, and food is particularly grains and milk and milk products. Therefore, gavaya dhanavan, dhanyavan dhanavan. One is considered wealthy if one has cows and grains. And clothing is also traditionally produced not from oil, but from cotton, jute, flax, wool, like this. And oil is also produced from plants, just like castor oil, flax oil, mustard oil, sunflower seed oil, and so on. And this oil is used for lighting and food and products and like this. So the Vaishyas, they produce all this. There's not massive production. It's not required. Not required that there are big factories. But just the idea is that the basic necessities of life should be there for everyone, and that spiritual understanding is most important. So the brahmanas, they give spiritual understanding and also material understanding, because to live in this world, some material knowledge is also required. And actually the Vedic culture was tremendously advanced in material understanding also. although that's not very well known nowadays, but actually not knowledge of astrology. It's going on to the present day, the Jyotish, which is astrology, but that's astrology is based on astronomy. So that in ancient India there was astronomy, which is a highly complex advanced science, that is clear from the fact that there is astrology. People say astrology is just some hocus pocus, but it's based on, you can't have it without astronomy. And you can't have astronomy without advanced mathematics. So that was also there in Vedic culture. In fact, the numerals that we use, the Arabic numerals as they're called, are actually not Arabic. The people in Europe got them from Arabia, but the people in Arabia got them from India. So there's very great knowledge, even materially, all kinds of knowledge, metallurgy, surgery, and many advanced sciences, including many sciences that are not known to modern man, subtle sciences, the science of subtle sound, for instance. That is briefly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. So there's much material knowledge, spiritual knowledge. These are the contributions of the Brahmanas, who are therefore considered topmost in human society. So this Varnashram system is a system that is meant to help gradually elevate everybody towards spiritual perfection. And in that, the Brahmanas are in the topmost position. So Brahmanas, they are... In our Krishna conscious movement, we also have Brahmanas, and they are supposed to be, to have all the qualities that are mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Now, the ultimate aim of life is not to become a Brahmana. If one is a very faithful Shudra, a very religious Vaishya, very responsible Kshatriya, for their pious activities, they may get born in their next life as a Brahmana. Once an astrologer came to Nimai Pandit, who was later known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the astrologer, "You tell me who I was in my previous life." Brahmanas, they should have be able to understand this. So by astrology, he calculated, the astrologer calculated, and he was astonished and saw, this is Mahavishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Actually, you're not a very good astrologer. I know that in my last life, I was a cowherd boy. And as my for my pious activities of protecting cows, now I'm born as a Brahmin." So it's an a charming anecdote, which gives us some insight into how by performing pious activities in other statuses of life, one can be born as a Brahmana. But to be, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's estimation, which means it's a fact, simply to be a Brahmana is not the topmost perfection of life, because it's also a situation within the material world. And the perfection of life is to understand, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Naham vipro na cha narapatiya na pi vaisya na shudra," that I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis and who is all bliss. So this is the spiritual position. The Brahmanas have a social position which is supposed to guide others towards spiritual life. And spiritual life means to go beyond all material designations. And Brahman is also a material designation. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was enacting the pastime of hearing from Ramananda Rai about the perfection of life and how to attain it, sadhya sadhana tattva, when Ramananda Rai, his first reply to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the perfection of life is by following Varnashram. And Ramananda quoted, Varnashram acharavata purushena parapuman vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tatto shakaranam. From Vishnu Purana, he quoted that the system of Varnashram, by following this, worshipping the Supreme Lord, there is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita that swakarmanatam abhyacha siddhing vindati mandavaha, that every human can achieve perfection by performing his work within the Varnashram system and worshipping the Supreme Lord. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this, eho bhajya. This is external. Because although the activity of worshipping Krishna is the essence of life, following one's position within Varnashram is not. That's external. It's an external consideration. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the following of Varnashram as external. Although he himself had accepted sannyas, which is a role within Varnashram, and he followed the rules of sannyas very strictly. But at the same time, he taught, and it is to be understood, that the position of a Vaishnava is much more than that of a Brahmana. The position of a Brahmana is one who knows the ultimate truth. That is the real definition of a Brahmana. It's not, because Brahmana means, this is connected with the term Brahma, which means the actual truth. Well, it means the absolute truth. It also means the Vedas. So therefore we have the definition of a Brahmana as Janma Jayati Shudra. Then what's the next line? Sangskara Bhavet Dvija. Veda Partet Bhavet Vipra. Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. That by birth, everyone is a Shudra. Shudra means Shochatiti Shudra. One who's on the bodily and mental platform, emotional platform, simply lamenting. And that means even if one is born in a Brahmana family, one is not actually a Brahmana until one goes through the samskara, upanayanam samskara. Upanayana means the ceremony by which one comes close to the spiritual master. One is initiated into spiritual knowledge. Nowadays that's become a ritual, if it's performed at all in Brahmana families. But it's the upanayanam samskara, the initiation into Brahminical life, is supposed to mark one's entrance into Vedic study. And when one has studied the Vedas, Veda Partet Bhavet Vipra, one who has studied the Vedas is known as a Vipra, means a learned person. But Brahma Janatiti Brahmana, one who actually knows Brahma, is called a Brahmana. Knows Brahma, you may say, well, he knows the Veda, Rig Veda, or Yajur Veda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda, maybe a Rig Vedi, Yajur Vedi, Samavedi. We don't usually have an Atharva Vedi. Or they can be Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chatur Vedi, knowing two Vedas, three Vedas, four Vedas. But one who has actually understood the essence, what is Brahma, what is the absolute truth, such a person is called a Brahmana. So what is the absolute truth? Well, there's much discussion of that in the Upanishads, but the essence of all the Upanishads is given by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, wherein Arjuna describes Krishna as Param Brahma. Krishna himself is Param Brahma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Param Brahma. And the Absolute Truth, Brahma, as generally conceived of by the followers of the Upanishads as being impersonal, of that Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Krishna is the basis of that. So one who realizes Krishna is already in the highest position, even if one doesn't study all the Vedas. Formally, F-O-R-M-A-L-L-Y. If one does not go through the formal study of the Vedas, but one accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one is already in the position of the topmost Brahmana. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I am not, even though I'm acting as a sannyasi, I'm taking that role, but I'm not. And any Vaishnava is in a better position than that of a Brahmana. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram. He rejected it philosophically, although none of his followers rejected it in practice. They would follow the rules of Varnashram so as not to disturb the social order. They would generally follow that. And we find in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya that generally the gurus would be from the Brahmin caste, although others also were there. But generally, it became a bit of a mix-up, and the Vaishnavas were often criticized for that. But to a large extent, they followed these rules. And even if people from other castes than Brahmin acted as gurus, then at least their disciples would treat their devotees who are gurus as brahmanas or more than brahmanas. So there's no need for varnashram at all in Vaishnavism. And in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions attachment to varnashram dharma as an obstacle in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So then why do we have it in our Krishna conscious movement? Well, the reason is that varnashram is required in human society. Without a systematic division of people according to their social and spiritual, according to their propensity as suitable for action within the social sphere, and according to their suitable position as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi, then society cannot run very nicely. So a systematic division is required. Modern education, unlike Vedic education, teaches everyone to be a shudra, that everyone has to get a job. It's all aimed at getting a job. And there's no spiritual dimension. They may teach something religious, or they may teach something about religion, but actual spiritual knowledge is not given. Now, Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world to preach Krishna consciousness, the highest goal of life. But he also wanted to establish Varnashram society. Why should he want to do that? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Varnashram is an obstacle in Vaishnavism. And when we see that the caste system for which Indian or Hindu culture is much maligned all over the world, it has been a cause of much unnecessary social disparity and exploitation within India. What do we want to revive the caste system for? The answer is that we do not wish to revive the caste system as it has been practiced in recent generations, but that actually this system is given by Krishna and it recognizes the differences of people, and instead of trying to make everyone all one, all genders are one, all people are one in all respects, it recognizes the difference and trains people to act according to their different propensities in a manner that is most beneficial for human society and in a manner that is most beneficial for propagating spiritual knowledge within society. And without that, society is chaotic, as we see at the present time. People are in anxiety all the time. They don't have any fixed role in society, so they can they're always in anxiety. Will I have a job? Or even if they have their own company, it may collapse. It may. The whole modern society is on a very brittle basis, and individual people, they have no stability in their life. So Varnashram, people criticize that, well, there's no social mobility. But for most people, there also isn't very much social mobility. But there is the advantage of Varnashram is that there is stability. So that people, instead of all their life, you may in the middle of your life start a new career or some such thing. Now you have a fixed role. You do it throughout your life, but then your main aim of life is spiritual cultivation. That's all. So you can say that modern society has the advantage of freedom and social mobility, but it also has the terrible disadvantage of instability in society and in people's lives. And it actually leaves the whole society susceptible to predatorial exploitation, as we see in the case of big corporations and governments that just work on the principle of manipulating people via the mass media and via the educational system, so that people think the best thing they can do in their life is simply to work hard and get some money. And if they can go through life, that's their achievement, with no spiritual direction whatsoever. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram as an adjunct to Krishna consciousness, as a necessary adjunct to Krishna consciousness, and particularly to this should be done first of all by having a class of brahmanas. People are actually competent to give spiritual direction and who by their lives show ideal character. They should be very learned. They should be detached from the material world. They should be able to teach Krishna consciousness and answer others' doubts. There are so many points. A Vaishnava is more than a brahmana, but the social role of a brahmana is required to teach others. And it may not be that, although every Vaishnava by his spiritual position is more than a brahmana, because every brahmana may not be a Vaishnava. But nevertheless, not all Vaishnavas will be brahminical in the sense of being fully dedicated to spiritual cultivation. Some will be Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Shudras by occupation, although a Vaishnava is more. By his commitment to Krishna, a Vaishnava, even if he's performing the work of a Shudra, that means being employed, most people today are employed, but his position is still more than that of a someone who's actually acting as a brahmana, for instance, as a priest in a temple, although most of them are employed nowadays also, but who's not a Vaishnava. So this should be understood, but it should also be understood, as Srila Prabhupada said, that we want to establish Varnashram society. This instruction of Srila Prabhupada is not so well known in our society nowadays, and there are many instructions that devotees don't know. Just like now, you might have been somewhat peeved that I asked you to chant Hare Krishna when you were chanting, what is that? Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. But this, we're members of ISKCON, founder Acharya, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who gave specific instructions on how to perform kirtan. And one of them is that we should emphasize the Hare Krishna mantra. And Srila Prabhupada didn't like the chanting of Radhe, Radhe, what is it, Shambhila, and all this kind of thing. You may say, well, how is that? It's very devotional. But well, Srila Prabhupada, he followed the Shastra and the previous Acharyas. And he wanted to distinguish our movement from the many Sahajiyas who think that they have access to Radharani is such an easy and cheap thing. And plus, worship of Radharani is perfect and complete in the Hare Krishna mantra, which Srila Prabhupada always emphasized. So I'm just giving that as an example, that the brahmanas in the Krishna conscious movement of today, they should be very much knowledgeable of Srila Prabhupada's instructions and teach others like that also. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram society that's agrarian based, simple living and high thinking. And he also said that not everyone in our society has to be a brahmana, has to be initiated as a brahmana. In traditional Hindu society, boys from brahmana families were and are initiated as brahmanas as a formality. It's considered because they're whatever, Mishra, Sharma, Chattopadhyay, or whatever. There are so many. Vyasa, Pujari, Adhikari, there's so many Brahmin names because they're born in such a family that automatically they are qualified to be Brahmanas. It goes on as a convention. But Srila Prabhupada said, well, we have to see the actual guna and karma. And that's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It's not by birth. So within the Krishna conscious movement also, there may be many Vaishnavas who by their guna and karma, they are, although their position as a Vaishnava is always more than that of any material position, but by their guna or karma, if they are Shudra or Vaishya or Kshatriya, then it doesn't make much sense to say that they are brahmanas if they're not performing the work of a brahmana, if they're not fully dedicated to spiritual culture, and if they're not highly learned in Shastra and giving knowledge of Krishna to others as their life's mission, then simply to designate everyone as a brahmana is going to be similar to, as a formality, will be similar to what has been going on in brahmana families. And then we won't have Varnashram. If everyone's called a brahmana, then there isn't Varnashram. So, from what I understand from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, I know that within ISKCON today, it's almost like a formality that devotees who have been initiated into chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles, after 6 months, 1 year, or 2 years, or after passing a Bhakti Shastri test, they're initiated as brahmanas. But if they're not living as brahmanas, if they're working in a job, or even if they have their own business, then they can't be the spiritual leaders of society in the role of a brahmana within Varnashram as Srila Prabhupada desired. So I see that as being counterproductive to Srila Prabhupada's mission to call everyone a brahmana if they're not actually acting in that capacity. Of course, this may be somewhat controversial, but satyam eva jayate. Deva Krishna Prabhu, he has been distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, giving spiritual knowledge. And I'm very happy to see that in modern America, which is so far away from Varnashram culture, that still some people are coming forward to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously. Of course, we're very happy to see all the devotees of Hindu or Indian background here also. We don't reject that by any means. We're very happy to see you all. But due to the cultural advantage that you have due to pious activities in previous lives, it is more expected that you may take to Krishna consciousness. It's not very much expected that people from a completely different culture will do. But nevertheless, those who do so, even coming from that less pious culture, they must be recognized for their spiritual commitment, if they have it. Now, traditionally, it's become a formality in Hindu society that people are considered Brahmins because they come from a certain family. But often in the families, and again this is dying out, but often in the families we see that there is, in Brahmin families, there is a certain Brahminical culture. And in Hindu families in general, there is a certain culture, which is being the remnants of the original Varnashram or Vedic culture. Even the remnants are much... well, there's something there. There's some actual culture as compared to the hedonistic culture of the West. So that is something very valuable also. We don't totally reject the caste brahmanas of India. Rather, we encourage them to live according to their culture, and the best way in the modern world is to take to the Krishna consciousness movement. So to be a brahmana is not just to be knowledgeable in Shastra, that is required. There's no meaning of a brahmana who has no knowledge of Shastra. And in traditional Vedic society, if someone is from supposed to be a brahmana but has no Vedic knowledge, they would be just considered completely useless. Just like how can you be a Vaishya if you don't know how to farm and don't know how to do business? How can you be a Vaishya? How can you be a Kshatriya if you can't fight? How can you be a brahmana if you don't have any Vedic knowledge? So having Vedic knowledge is essential to being a brahmana. But it's not just the knowledge, there's a whole culture. And there are many points of that culture which are now largely lost. Although in some brahmana families we see, especially in South India, that is upheld, but that's also being lost. There's this one book I have, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, which gives, as it says, glimpses of the traditional culture. One devotee who's from he's from an Aya family, which I think you're mostly North Indians, but those of you who are from Tamil Nadu will know that Aya means smarter brahmana. That's the caste, they're known as Aya. So he's from an Aya family, and he's a brahmachari in ISKCON today, but when he read this book, when it shortly after it first came out, about 10 years ago, maybe more than that. And although he was raised in an Aya family in Chennai, which at that time was still somewhat conservative, he said that practically everything in the book was new to me. He didn't know anything about it whatsoever, any of this culture. But that culture is also essential. One cannot be a Brahmana if one does not rise early, if one does not engage in puja, if one does not behave as a Brahmana, shamodamattapashocha. Brahmana may be very, just as a Kshatriya is very strong with his sword, so a Brahmana may be very strong with his tongue in establishing the truth. But his general behavior is, he's peaceful because he has no material desires. He's not expected that a Brahmana is a very agitated person or one who gets upset over trifles. So, and also there are many rules and regulations which people grow up with, and I myself, in my youth, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I spent many years in the villages of Bangladesh, where the people were mostly, the Hindus in the villages were mostly by caste Nomashudra, which means lower than Shudra. But the culture that they had due to non-exposure to modern life was still much more, much better than I saw even among many people in India. So I had the fortune to observe and live among people of who are in many ways highly cultured according to traditional standards. So this is another major part of Brahminical life, which our devotees, even in India now, increasingly don't know much about. So I hope that at least in the present time it may not be very possible because there's not much knowledge of all these things. But I hope by writing and by establishing these principles, particularly in some centers that I have a role in India, and hopefully there may be such centers gradually in the West also, where all these principles are taught of Vaishnav and Brahminical behavior. Actually, I saw in a small town in Switzerland that one devotee from Orissa has regularly been going there. He's Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu. He's probably around 70 years old now. He's a disciple of Gaur Govinda Maharaj. And he regularly goes there. I was surprised when I went there how they Western devotees greeted me with foot washing, and then I saw they had the water ready, and they tested the temperature, one devotee, by putting his finger in, but not by putting the finger in like this with the nail, but like this. So the nail is, because as soon as the nail goes in the water, it's not fit for drinking, for use in puja, or any such thing. Who knows? I thought, who knows this in the West? Even in India, they don't have to tell them this. So he was training them in all these different points, which heartened me that these things can be taught in the West also. Which you can say they are fine points, but traditionally Krishna has always been worshipped like this. Traditionally, if anyone puts their fingernail in the water, that can't be used for worshipping Krishna. And Krishna is the same, even though Kali Yuga is declining, but Krishna is still the same person and should be worshipped to the same standard. So gradually we wish to introduce all these standards, and those who are to be initiated as Brahmanas, they should know this. And within our temples, this Brahminical culture should be there. It's not that everyone can come to the highest standard, but the Brahmanas, by living that, they set an example for others. Now, one other point about Brahmanas, that traditional Brahmanas in India, that the British, they always thought that the Brahmanas are very proud people. They consider themselves so superior to others. And they look down on everyone. Now, the British, they didn't understand the culture, and therefore they saw it as that. They saw it in that way. Although Brahmanas, by necessity, they have to keep a little distant from others. Because if you, for instance, if you, they're engaged in puja. So if they, this whole idea of untouchable, how did this come? Well, people who are engaged in eating meat and handling the skins of animals, if you touch them, then you're not fit for doing puja. Then you have to go and bathe again before you can do puja. And even to associate with them is not, you don't want to associate very much with people of a lower consciousness. It's actually a lower consciousness. So this is understandable. But if you get in the consciousness of thinking, I'm so much better, then you're not really a Brahmana at all. And there are many anecdotes too, which exemplify this. Shankaracharya at Varanasi, one Chandal was standing in his path, and then Shankara wanted him to get out of the way, and the Chandal said, well, what do you mean by you want me to get out of the way? Do you think I'm this body or so on? And then Shankara realized that this is a self-realized person in the body of a Chandal. And there are many incidents like this. In the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, one of the Alvas was, the Lord would not open because who was considered very low or outside the caste, he was not allowed to come to the temple. So there are so many instances of this. So one shouldn't, within ISKCON also, we shouldn't think that Brahminical initiation is a prestige symbol. Anyone who thinks like that is completely unfit for Brahminical initiation. They cannot even be a Vaishnava. The idea that, well, now you say, I've been initiated for 6 months or 1 year, and you know it's time to be Brahmin, time to get Brahmin initiation, then people will know I'm not just a new devotee. They'll understand I'm a senior devotee. This is not proper. The lack of egoism. There should be no egoism in a Vaishnava. That means he's strong in his principles. Lack of egoism doesn't mean that, well, he says that, well, everything is okay. No, he can be very strong. And as we see, Srila Prabhupada, the perfect Brahmana, is very strong in combating all wrong ideas. And that's also another of the books, on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. A Brahmana doesn't mean a limp wimp who simply is a sentimental, useless person, but should be very strong in defending Krishna and establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, he is completely dedicated to Krishna. But at the same time, we have to understand that Brahmana, that designation is there for the sake of establishing Krishna's mission within the world. And Krishna's mission in the world is to teach us all that we're not Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis or whatever, that we're all beyond the body, we're all eternal servants of Krishna. So in one sense, the Brahminical initiation is not very important. People who put so much importance on it, they're not Vaishnavas. Because a Vaishnava knows that the position of a Vaishnava is much more than that of a Brahmana. But it is important in the present time for establishing the mission of Krishna consciousness within the world. But that is only possible if those who are designated as Brahmanas actually live and act as Brahmana. So it's a very great responsibility. There's a lot of outcry or disappointment within our Krishna conscious movement. And that is understandable There's a lot of disappointment at the downfall from the principles of sannyasis. But if a brahmana falls down, that's also very serious. If once one is initiated as a brahmana, you should follow very, very strictly. There should be no question of downfall from the four regulated principles. Brahmana doesn't engage in illicit sex or meat-eating, gambling, intoxication. Brahmana is the very symbol of purity in human society. So, please accept this responsibility. You've already accepted the responsibility of taking up the Vaishnava life. It is a great responsibility. And particularly to take the position of a brahmana, which means one who by his practice is to instruct others. So please take this very seriously and responsibly, and take forward with even more enthusiasm the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness, which is so much needed in America and in the world at the present time. Hare Krishna. Is any question about this, please? Yes, please. All right, but if you don't mind, I just saw this devotee here first. So, first comes first. Is it? Well, Jesus said those who are last will come first. But anyway, I saw. What's your name, please? Gaurasundara Das. All right, yes, so please.
Shri Prabhupada say, Shri Prabhupada say, in the Kali Yuga, the standard of Brahman, we not really in the standard to be a Brahman. So my question is, so why Shri Prabhupada came in the Western world and initiated us as a Brahman? In the scripture, Shri Prabhupada say, in the Kali Yuga, we are not in the standard to be a Brahman. We are not in the level to be a Brahman. So why actually Shri Prabhupada come in the Western world to give us a Brahman initiation?
Well, it's stated in the Shastra that the Brahmanas will be so-called brahmanas will be of very low behavior, but for that very reason, Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish a class of actual brahmanas. That those who are designated as brahmanas, although some of them still lead a pure life, some of them still. It's not that they're all very fallen. Even here in America, there are many Brahmana caste priests who are in temples, and they do lead. They're suitable. They wouldn't be employed as temple priests if they were not living a pure life. But the most important function of a Brahmana is to give spiritual knowledge to others. And that is lacking. So on the basis of the knowledge given in Srila Prabhupada's books, those who are prepared to take the responsibility to do so should be to teach others spiritual knowledge. They should be recognized as actual brahmanas. So it's particularly as a teaching function, teaching, preaching, that a class of brahmanas is required. Srila Prabhupada often gave the example that brahmanas are just like, this is from Shastra, the brahmanas are just like the head, because they're intellectuals, they give guidance. Kshatriyas are like the chest and arms. Vaishyas are like the belly, and Shudras are like the leg. So a body without a head, or if the head is not in order, then it's dead or it's crazy. So we have, in the modern world, is very active, but crazy. So in the head is not in order. So we need real brahmanas. Yes, please.
If you could just kindly speak. My question is, I have two questions. One is, as you rightly mentioned that, the division of caste was based on qualifications. Should be based on qualification. But at what point, it got distorted and it became based on birth. And why the religious leaders could not handle this situation. So and it's getting worse and worse day by day. That is one question. Okay. So do you want to ask me another one or?
Yeah, let me take one at a time.
Okay.